the series on the seven I ams, which is in the Gospel of John, and in the saying that I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the doorway or the gate, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the resurrection and the life, I'm the way, the truth and the life, and I am the true vine. So I'm starting a series tonight, and instead of going to share with the word small, because I just feel that I think it's for Clondalkin, but I think it'd be encouraging, because even what, you know, when I share, you'll see what Rob was sharing earlier on, even with fears and being inadequate, and it's just so relevant, I think, for the moment. And when you talk about the I ams, you know, having a relationship with the Lord, or with people, when you say, you know, I am Stephen Conway, I met a friend of my mum there the other day, and she was with another lady, and we said hello, and she said, oh, Stephen, you know, but when I was walking away, I heard my mum started saying, oh, that's Margaret Conway's son. So, because names are important to us, so the I am is important, and all these I ams are so important, because Jesus was like, you know, he was indicating, you know, somehow that making Jesus, God, present when he was saying the I ams. And in speaking the I am, you know, when Moses met with God, when God asked him to take the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, he said, who will I say sent me, when he was going to Pharaoh? And he says, you know, I am who I am. So what Jesus was saying too, that was he, I am too on God. I am the am, I am who I am. So therefore, you know, if we want bread, you know, that spiritual food that lasts forever, we come to Jesus to be fed. If we want light to find a way in this dark world, then Jesus is that light. Especially if we've seen in these days, you know, in the last 3 months, the three attacks, you know, in this place that's so close to home, and we think it'll never happen, you know. And, you know, we won't live in fear. We won't not live in fear. If we want to find light in this world, you know, as if we want to find a way to God, Jesus is the gate to heaven. If we want to rise to new life after death, then Jesus can give us that gift. If we want care and protection along this journey that we're on, Jesus is a good shepherd. And if we want to know the presence of God in our life, then we need to abide in Jesus, the true vine. And I just shared a little earlier, you know, with the I ams. And it was so relevant, you know, Sean. I was just outside when I met Sean, went by, and I know the guy, you know, and one of the reasons, as the same way I probably got angry with God years ago on leaving the church, my best mate died at 23, and angry, you know, why, all the questions, and John went by, and I said, I know this guy from somewhere, and I thought he walked with my friend Paul, and I went to Sean and I said, does Queensworth mean anything to you, which is now Super Value, and he said no, but then he just clicked with me, the Olympia, my best mate Paul, that's where he died actually, he drove into on his motorbike, walked that night, and just went down. But when I seen Sean, you know, just as soon as I mentioned the name, Paul J, the I am, you know, he just knew. And, you know, who you are, your I am, is so important to God. But what Jesus, you know, making so the bread of life is so important, to, you know, in this message today. The I ams are so important. And before I start, I just want to pray. I just say, you know, Lord, I just thank you that you have us in this place today. I just want that you just open our eyes, Lord, open our ears to what you want to say to us, Lord. Open our minds, and then, you know, our hearts will be softened. And just that the Holy Spirit will just reign in this room today, in Jesus' name. So John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And we think about when we look at the Gospel of John, it's mainly about the third year of Jesus' ministry. And prior to that, the 2 years that he had been in his ministry, he was gathering a large following. People were starting to come to him for many different reasons. So that's when we read, you know, large crowds or large followings. So large, gathered a lot of followers. So in chapter 6, and begins with a wonderful feeding miracle of the 5,000 men, plus the women and children, and they're fed by a few small loaves and fishes. It's a miracle that makes Jesus so popular, the crowd want to make him king. But then the scene ends with the same group of people walking away from Jesus in disgust, just thinking that he's crazy. So he's in the deserted area near Bethsaida, and he's ministering to a large multitude of people. But towards the evening, he says to Philip, "Where can we buy some enough bread to feed all these people?" And then Philip starts to do the maths. But it's not going to be so many hundred denarii he's going to need for this. But then again, they get to the towns, so they won't be able to cater for these thousands of people. So it just wasn't going to happen in Philip's mind. And then Andrew comes up. He suggests this young lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But then Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he blesses it. And then he orders the disciples to distribute it to the multitudes. And it says that they all ate until they were stuffed, and they gathered up 12 baskets of fragments that remained. In verse 14 it said, "When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, 'Surely this is the prophet that we were expecting.'" This has to be the one that we were expecting. But then Jesus commands his people, his disciples, to go back to Capernaum, where he had done most of his ministry, because he knew that these people were thinking of forcing him in to be their king. So he said that, and then it says that he went up to the mountain alone. So when we think about bread, you know, I'm sure we all have our own stories, and probably the younger people, not so much these days, you know, but myself growing up as a kid, turnovers. Anybody remember the turnover? Carol remember the turnover. When did the turnover, bread? You still buy them there? Hey, that's still this is beautiful bread, but when I grew up in the home of football in Cabra, my mum still lives there. She moved when my dad passed away up to have an extension of my sister's house on the same road. When I drive by it each day, when I look at the garden, you know, the garden's so small. But when I used to be growing up playing with the garden, used to be seem so big, and the goal seemed to be so far away. When you scored a goal, it was so spectacular. But the bread man used to come every Wednesday or Thursday. They used to deliver most days, but the turnover was the day, you know, that you were really happy about. So we used to put it on the window in the greaseproof paper, and you start picking at it. And before you know it, the fist has gone into it, and just there's a big hole in the bread. So your mom brings it in then. Next of all, there's a big roar out the window. "Stephen, who ate the bread?" And it must have been the boards, mom. I don't know. She could be just gone, you know. But, you know, even with this, when we think so much about bread, you know, in them days, you know, one of our neighbors used to have sugar sandwiches. Sugar sandwiches, like, you know, crazy. There's a few nodding the head now, you can relate to that. But Claire and myself, you know, she loves coming out to a brae, because, you know, we always think about brae being the fish and chip. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking so much about having a fish and chip, because we don't, because, you know, when you get to 40, your metabolism slows down. Sorry, Carol. All right, okay, 40s. But your metabolism slows down, so you're watching your diet a bit more. So I said to Claire, "You have to stop talking about the fish and chip." I said, "Well, I'm just going to get them. I'm just going to go out and buy it." So we had a wonderful fish and chip, but then you get the chip boy, and the brown sauce on the batch loaf, lovely, absolutely lovely. So you can taste it, you know. But it's if we give up bread, especially, you know, with all the diets, all the carbs, have to get off the carbs, and if you know, we might miss it if we gave it up, but we'd get on fine without it, wouldn't we, you know, because there's so much in our diets nowadays. But in Jesus' day, bread was probably the most important part of the diet, you know. If you had bread and water and a drop of wine, you had a meal. And if you had fish and meat, you actually ate very well. But when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he wasn't saying, "I'm like the freshly baked loaf from Pat the Baker's with some sesame seed on top." He was actually saying, "I am what you need to live." He could have got away with saying, "I am today's bread today." But what he was referring to was that I'm the only one who can really nourish you along life's journey. So if you have your Bibles, you want to go to John chapter 6. I'm just going to read a few verses and then go into it to see what it says. I don't know whether it's up there or not for us. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. So they found him on the other side of the lake and they asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus becomes like a politician now, you know, and he says, he just as if he dismisses their answer, you know. You'd expect when someone asks you, you know, "When did you arrive here?" "I arrived here last night, I arrived here a few hours ago." But he just goes into, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." Jesus letting them know that that God the Father, someone who they could relate to, had given him his seal of approval. Because seals were so, the seal of approval, the seal in them days was so important. But the people just, they weren't getting it. Then they reply, "We want to perform God's works too. So what should we do?" And Jesus told them, "The only work God wants from you is believe in the one who he has sent." And this is so important. So it's like, you know, to think that the only thing that we have to do is to believe. Jesus was actually giving them an actual requirement for God, for man now today. This is the work of God. This is the only work that God wants you, is to believe in the one, on him who he had sent. So you could imagine, you know, what do we have to do, you know, to do God's work? Just believe. But it's a question that I have for us today. Can we do that today? Just believe that Jesus is our bread of life. Believing in that all you need or we need to fulfill our lives is to believe in him. Even though I failed in the past, even though I've hurt others with things I've done and said, Jesus is explaining that when we truly trust in him, when you really believe in him, that's God's work. Then they shifted a bit. You know, they answered him, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do?" So over the last couple of years, they've seen blind men see. They've seen lepers being cleansed. They've seen paralyzed men walk. The day before, they had seen the 5,000 men plus women and children being fed. And they come up with this question. It's amazing, isn't it? Because it got me thinking again, you know, about miracles and, you know, blessings in my life in church over the years that I've been there, because I've been part of Clondalkin for the last 3 years, the church plant there. Prior to that, it was in RD Street, and even before that, in Rialto. We were living in Wexford. Good quality life, only working the weekends, on horse riding, and just having a quality life. But there was something missing. And then I came to know the Lord. So, you know, something has to be filled in my life. And when I think about the blessings in my life, I'm trying to explain it to people. So what keeps you going to church? Because I ask that question myself. What sustains you? What helps you persevere? Because you hear that word all the time. Just keep persevering. God will bless you. But I was reading something the other day, and I said, you know, when you go to this fireworks display, and the firework goes up, and then there's the an explosion, and you see, and you go, "Wow!" And you hear the people saying, "Wow, this is amazing." For me, that's like a blessing or a miracle in my life. The next one then goes up, and it's just more spectacular. I say, "Wow!" And then another one, another two go up, and they divide, and spectacular. But then you start to forget about what the other one was like. And you say, you know, that's helped me to understand that, you know, I need to keep looking back on the blessings in my life, the miracles in my life. And I felt like that's what these people were forgetting. The day before, they had seen so many being fed. And you just wonder, you know, how could you forget something that was only the day before? Because, you know, they started as like they were starting to manipulate Jesus then, you know. They said, you know, oh, after all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says, you know, Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. But then Jesus comes in, he starts getting quite direct here. He says, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he's offering you the true bread from heaven, the true bread of God, the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. So they said, give us this bread today. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. And we know it here that, you know, Jesus didn't, you know, he didn't say, come to church each week and you'll get the bread of life. Or work for the poor and the needy and you'll learn the bread of life. Or even believing in God will give you the bread of life. Jesus is saying that those who believe in him, that is, you know, those who recognize that Jesus, that in Jesus, God is at work to save. So we need to trust him and believe in him. So Jesus was saying that he didn't come to improve their lives. He came to be their lives. Amen? You know, to be their lives. So let's look at a couple of things that we can get from this scripture. One of the things is that people are needy. You know, different scholars, you know, some people say there was 10,000, some say 15,000, 20,000. It depends on whether you're hanging around with Noel or Rob, you know, how many thousands you'll get, you know. Noel will probably say 100, was it? You know what I mean? But they were hungry, and there was no place nearby to buy food. Their physical hunger and their inability to satisfy that hunger can give us a picture of the spiritual needs for our life today. In verse 26 and 27, Jesus tells them that they were following because they ate their fill of bread, but they should have been focused on the food that endures to eternal life. We think about, you know, this world today, it offers so many materialistic things, like so many different types of bread. There was a survey saying there's over 100 different types of bread to satisfy people. But that's like the materialistic things in our life today. But they don't make us happy. They don't sustain us. It's only for a short while. They don't fill that spiritual void that we all need to be filled. And that can only come through the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. It's amazing the different styles of evangelists that we see in the world today. The guy Ray Comfort is one, you know, he helps people come to know Jesus, you know, by walking through some of God's commandments that he had broken. So he goes up to them on the street and he'd say, what do you think it needs, you know, to get to heaven? And people say, you know, oh, to be a good person. And he'd say things like, you know, oh, do you believe you're a good person? And they say, yeah, I think I'm a good person. So he says, well, do you mind taking a little test? And says, yeah, go ahead. And he says, have you ever told lies or stolen anything? I said, yeah, I've lied and I've, over the years, I've taken things that, you try to rephrase it, isn't it, you know, or I took a loan or something, or I took things that weren't really belong to me, not that you were stealing, you know. But then you say, you know, what's someone called that tells lies? You say, a lawyer. So what's someone that steals? It's, you know, a thief. And you say, have you ever taken God's name in vain? And you say, yes. And you say, well, the Bible says that's blasphemy, so, yeah. In your own words, you're saying you're a blasphemer. And have you ever lusted on someone? And you say, yes. And you say, well, in God's sight, you know, you're an adulterer. So what you're really saying is that you're a liar, you're a thief, you're an adulterer, someone who blasphemes. So how do you think it'll go, you know, before you come, you know, before the Lord, or your Maker, on the day of judgment? But it's only when people see their eyes opened, you know, or how spiritual needy they are, that they'll cry out for Jesus. And some people, you know, they need that approach. But some people might say, ah, oh, that's a bit direct. It's quite uncomfortable. I don't like that approach to evangelism. But when we read the later verses in chapter 6, Jesus becomes very direct. And actually, the crowd walk away from him because they felt uncomfortable. But Jesus' plan that day was to glorify God and just to help them to believe who he said he was. The people were quick enough to try and manipulate Jesus into say, you know, oh, Moses fed us from heaven. But they didn't bring to him what Moses says in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. He says, God says to him, I will raise up a prophet like you from among your fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I command. Another thing we learn from this scripture is that Jesus is more concerned about the needy than we are. See, the disciples, they wanted to solve the problem by just sending the people away to get their own food. They were more focused on their own needs. And they viewed the people as, you know, just being a bother. Oh, just, you know, there's more important things for us to do than to try and feed these. But Jesus was more concerned about them. And he wants us to learn to look at needy people through his eyes. Because he has compassion for them. He delights in meeting their need. And then he doesn't just meet a need or barely meet a need. He abundantly meets their needs. When Jesus fed the thousands of the large crowds, it says, everyone was satisfied and everyone was filled. And then there was 12 baskets left over. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul, who was so in tune with the Father. We also learn that Jesus is sufficient not for the physical needs, but especially for the spiritual needs. Because this story isn't just a story about hungry stomachs. It's about spiritual satisfaction that Jesus brings to all those who feed on him as the bread of life. As it says in 6:25, you know, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst. And today, people come to Jesus for many reasons. Many people come to church for different reasons. You know, some people come because they see their friends or family being healed and they want to be healed. Or they come because somebody's life is changing. Families, you know, relationships being restored. People get jobs and things are just changing. And they want some of that. They come for their own needs. And Jesus can meet those needs. And he does. He often meets those needs. But most importantly, he wants us to see that we all have a deeper need. That we all have a spiritual need. And that spiritual void needs to be met. We watched the wonderful testimony. I don't know whether any of you have seen the I Am Second testimony, videos done on YouTube. Wonderful testimonies. We watched one in our Grow group on Tuesday night. Lee Hui is his name. A guy that, you know, he said he came into this world, you know, just wanting everything. He wanted to be rich. He wanted the material things in his life. His life changed over. He joined the army, ended up going on drugs, had a relationship, but he had no friends. But he always felt that there was a spiritual void that needs to be filled. And if you watch yourself, it's a wonderful story of him sharing how he needed a spiritual void to be filled. And it's what's like us today. We can have so many things, you know, the brand new iPhone, the brand new car this week, and in a few months' time, it's just as if it's, oh, What's next? What's next for us, you know? So this miracle shows us that, you know, people are needy, but also that, you know, the Lord's people are inadequate to meet the needs. But showing that Jesus Christ is powerfully sufficient to meet the needs of all people, especially the need to be reconciled with God. I read this quote the other day, and I don't know who it's from, though, but it's I just said I have to read it. It's wonderful. It says, I have to share it, that the meeting of need is not dependent on the supply in hand, but on the blessing of the Lord resting on the supply. I just thought it was wonderful that, you know, we can supply people with things to meet their needs, but it's only the blessing of the Lord that will meet their needs. It's just so wonderful. Do you ever feel inadequate? Anybody? Five of us. Brilliant. But when we read this word, it says that the Lord's people are inadequate in themselves to meet the people's needs. I think if there was a lion here and somebody was going to deal with, you know, someone being inadequate, I'd be the first on the line. Because there's times on my journey where I feel just so inadequate. You know, and even these couple of weeks leading up to preaching, you know, you just say, oh, what about the word, you know, that I'm bringing? You know, is it in season? How are you going to bring it? You know, what really helped me, you know, at Christmas time, last Christmas time, that I put so much pressure on myself when I'm doing things. It has to be perfect. So I always find a fault. But when I realized that I give 110% in everything I do, and I can't do any more. But when I read this, this really helped me as well, that God uses inadequate people to feel the need. It's wonderful. Let's read it. It says that the Gospels tell us that, you know, the disciples, each solution, as I said, was, you know, get rid of the crowd and we'll sort it out. Problem solved. Well, it was, at least it was in their eyes. You know, but Jesus told them in chapter 6, you know, the verse, it's actually in Mark as well, Mark 6, 37, I have it there as well. But he actually he was saying to them, give them something to eat. And specifically, he was talking to Philip, you know, so where are we going to buy bread for these to eat? But it got me thinking about the 12, and surely one of them must have said, you know, but we've seen him walking on water. We've seen him turning the water into wine. We've seen him healing the soldiers, the lieutenant's son and servant. You know, surely, you know, he could have a good shot at this. But maybe do you think that they were saying, I've seen him doing them things, but this is a big one. There's thousands here. I wonder, could Jesus do that? Because I know I can get like that. I know Jesus can do this for me, but can he really do this for me? You know, and it just got me thinking, you know, what were they thinking? And even, you know, Andrew, he had the five loaves and two fishes, and he wanted to say, I know, my God, I know Jesus can turn that, he can do this, but he shied away from it. You know, say, ah, so what's this amongst this large crowd? It's not sufficient. It would have helped, you know, greatly if Philip had responded, oh, Lord, yeah, I've seen you turn the water into wine. I've watched you heal the royal official's son, and I saw you heal the man. He was unable to walk, and I watched you perform dozens of miracles. But is that how you think, or is that how I think? I wish I would think, I've thought like that, but I don't. A lot of the time. There's so, as I was saying, there's so many times when I feel inadequate. But Jesus meets the needs of the people through his inadequate people. Yeah, Jesus could have actually, you know, prayed up to the Lord God, and he would have said, you know, call down bread from heaven without involving anyone. But it's in using his disciples to distribute the food that he also wanted to show us how we could use inadequate people. And if you know him, he also wants you to meet other people's needs. Someone asked Robert Morrison, he was the first missionary to China, do you really expect to make an impact on this great land? He said, no, sir. But I expect God to. And then Hudson Taylor says, you know, it's the guy who followed Morrison's footsteps. He says, all God's joints have been weak men who do great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. God only uses inadequate people. Even though he can provide far more than we need, we shouldn't waste it. And, you know, even with Bethany, you know, not even with Bethany, Bethany coming up and just being able to be an author of a book, the gifts that's in this room is just amazing. And we shouldn't waste it. You feel inadequate, that's when the time when God moves in. Because when we start feeling adequate and being full of pride, God doesn't seem to use us. Because we're not dependent on him. It's only when we're dependent on him. But this also shows how God provides for those who serve him. God does provide for those who serve him. There were 12 disciples. How many baskets were left over? 12. God provides for those who serve him. Remember, the bread is a picture of Christ. And when we yield to him our inadequate abilities and gifts to use as he pleases, he will satisfy us with a full measure of himself. We'll have food to eat that others know nothing about. And you'll read that before in John chapter 4 when he was with the Samaritan woman. And some of the disciples came back to him and he said, we have you some lunch for you? And they go off and they come back and he still hadn't ate the lunch. He said, why aren't you? You know, you're not hungry. He says, I have food that you know nothing about. And you have it as well. You do have it. Because when I'm looking around Clondalkin, I've been so blessed out there. And I share this all the time, you know, when I'm sharing with people. Claire and myself drove into Clondalkin 3 years ago just to go and help Noel out and as a church plant. And we're driving through the estate and I think there was a burnt car out there and there was kids this age just lighting a fire and just, you could feel the fear. You could feel the pressure in the estate. And we just looked at each other and said, I don't think we'd be back out here. No. But 3 years later, we're still there. And you know what? Met some wonderful people. So many gifted people. We're in a grow group the other night. We're learning more how to pray. Because, you know, a church plant, you know, people come in. I've never met a place with so many fears and just feeling inadequate. And people think that they have nothing to give. One of the girls, she's a brilliant artist. It just hurts when you see people that are so gifted to go back into their shell, you know. She sent me a poem a couple of weeks ago, and the last couple of weeks, she's been finding it tough. Not saying she's walking away. She won't walk away. She knows the Lord now. But she was in the group the other night, and I asked her to share her poem. And she said, later on, she said, I really wanted to share this, but it's only when you said it, will you share it, that I shared it, because she felt inadequate. She felt she couldn't do it. But when she read the poem, it was powerful. The people, I just looked around, and everybody was going, wow. And she had a smile from here to here, and it was brilliant, you know, because that's what God does. You feel inadequate, and God brings up this in you. That's when he uses you. And I'm just praying that she goes. And I have so many stories about Clondalkin, so many blessings that's happened out there. And I'm sure it's here too. Guys, there's so much more, so much more. Miracles won't satisfy our hunger for God. It's only our personal relationship with the bread of life. On that day, Jesus was trying to get the people, those people, to understand that there was more important hungers in life, and these can be only satisfied through a relationship with Him. There's a hunger for truth, and Jesus is the truth, the answer to all life's questions. There's a hunger for life, and Jesus alone can give men life, abundant and eternal life. There's a hunger for love, and Jesus alone can give us that love that outlasts even death. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time, Lord God. Lord, I just pray when your people read the scripture during this week, Lord, over the next couple of days, even to test it, Lord God, because I know, you know, is that we don't test God, or God doesn't test us, you know, not when it comes to evil things, but he does test us in our faith. Because even when he was speaking to Philip, he didn't want bread from Philip. He wanted to see where his faith was. And Lord, I pray that there will be an increase in faith from this, even from this moment, Lord God. Because I felt my faith rising when we worshipped earlier, Lord. Because that brings me into your presence, Lord Jesus. And I pray as people read your word and get a real revelation from the Holy Spirit about, you know, the provision that you give, the needs that you fill, about being inadequate, that, you know, that you use people who are inadequate. Lord, I'm just so thankful that you just bring us to this place, Lord God, and you fill the need in our hearts, Lord God. You fill the needs of our loved ones, Lord Jesus. It's a true blessing, Lord, to read your word and to pass your word on, Lord God. You are mighty, Lord Jesus. And I trust you, Lord. And just help me to take just those steps forward. I pray a blessing on this church today, Lord God, that you would just, you know, overflow it, Lord God, with spiritual needs, Lord God, you know, be met. That spiritual void, Lord Jesus, that needs to be met. I pray, Lord, that you will fill it this week, Lord. Fill it right now, Lord Jesus. Bless your people. Just open their eyes, Lord, and their ears, Lord, to what you want from them, Lord Jesus. And open their hearts, Lord. Lord, I'm just so thankful that you are the bread of life. And I just want to feed on you. In Jesus' name, amen.